when the wind blows the snowflakes around and the wind's pretty strong, the snowflakes will crash into each other. And those kind of beautiful snowflakes that you have in your mind with those six sides, those arms and legs of the snowflake will crash into each other and will break apart.
Joel, thank you so much for joining me today from Open Snow. It's a pleasure to meet you, and I've been stoked to talk to you ever since I learned about Open Snow. We've been using it for years. First chasing powder with the Icon Pass and the Max Pass, especially living out of an RV. And we would use the app all the time and continue to use it to find the best powder and chase snow. And thanks to you, we've actually driven hundreds of miles to try to chase powder, but I'm excited to have you on today to learn more about what the app is, its upcoming features, and talk to our audience about Open Snow. Thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. Yeah, driving hundreds or even thousands of miles to chase snow is I don't know, it's kind of the point in some respects. And a lot of times it works and sometimes it doesn't, but we can all talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the funny thing was when we were in the RV is was all about the timing. Like we wanted to get to the resort before the snow came so we didn't get stuck in the weather and be there when the storm came, you know, catch all of it and experience it and hopefully move on to the next place. So it was really exciting to nail the timing. I felt like some way I was like a tornado chaser during that time.
Well, I'll tell you this right up front. It doesn't always work,
Oh
right?
yeah.
Like the forecast is wrong, the science isn't right, the logistics don't work out, which is why when it does work, it feels so amazing
It's so
because
much sweeter.
exactly. And I like to point that out because I think there's this narrative. If you're just looking on Instagram or something like that, there's a narrative that it always works and it's amazing, and here's the highlight reel. But the reality, and even for pro forecasters like myself and pro skiers and everybody else, it doesn't always work. And so if you just, you know, leave out those negative parts or the parts where the road was closed or you made the wrong decision or the forecast was wrong, it seems like to everybody else that, you know, your life is perfect. And in fact, this is a tough game, and it's amazing when it all works and you're in the right place, right time, right people, and the snow is great. It feels like you kind of won a little bit. But then at the end of the day, you know, it resets, right? Like you did well that day, and then what are you gonna do
What's next?
the next day? Yep. So it's short-lived but sweet when it happens.
Well, you nailed it. I think if it was a perfect guarantee, it wouldn't be as fun. And just another example that social media is not reality.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Well, I'm super curious to learn about the history. You know, how did you end up starting? And I know it started from an email list and it grew into you know, a website and an app, but talk me through, you know, your history and how you decided to launch OpenSnow.
Sure. I was a childhood skier in the mountains of hills of northeastern Pennsylvania. And I, for whatever reason, when I was a little kid, loved snow and I loved skiing. And because of that, I started to love weather because you needed to figure out where it was going to be cold and snow. And so I knew I wanted to be a meteorologist from a young age. I went to Penn State to study meteorology, came to the University of Colorado to study more meteorology and also business. But then I didn't start this right away. And you know, I hear a lot of entrepreneurial stories where people go to work for a while because it's not like you know, the Zuckerberg moment where you just start something in college is pretty rare. The reality is most people go to work and figure out what the world looks like and then iterate from there. So I was doing that and I was working, but I was addicted to powder when I came to Colorado. And I was also amazed at sometimes that the forecast we're just way off. Not like we said 6 inches and you got 9 or something, but you said 8 and there was 40. You're like, what
Wow.
happened in this? Because meteorology, even 20 years ago when I started this, was pretty good. Like the science was pretty good. You weren't going to necessarily miss a storm. And so I was just super curious. Nights, weekends, early mornings, I was just digging into the weather. And finally, I just started an email list with some friends and said, I think this is where it's going to snow and where we should chase powder. And most of my friends said that this was a terrible idea, and they didn't know why I was emailing them. But I just stuck with it, and the email list morphed into a blog, morphed into a website, and I saw other apps like Surfline, which was a condition forecasting where is the surf going to be good. It was started as a 1-900 number 40 years ago, And so I kind of saw that business model and thought, you know, this is, if I can make a career out of this, this would be really fun. So that was the genesis of Open Snow. And so now Open Snow is still me and many other forecasters writing daily updates to give you kind of the inside scoop. So there's the people that read the daily snows are some part weather nerd, right? Like they want to know just a little bit more about the weather. But also, you know, when you're making a reasonably committing decision from a travel, whether you're, you know, driving 2 hours or 10 hours or flying or whatever you might be doing, oftentimes you want to hear a little bit more from a human versus just what all the automated forecasts show. So we
Got
have a
it.
bunch of we have a bunch of daily snow writers that produce that, and then we also have a whole other version, or not version, but kind of side to the website and apps, which provide all the data. So if you're you know, wake up early, just show me the webcam, show me the data. I just want to, you know, get the 30-second synopsis and be out the door. We do all of that as well. So hopefully we're kind of tackling it from the human angle, and then also the kind of automated computing angle.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you're, yeah, it's data and human curation, editorial, your opinion layered on top of the data and how you see it. That's amazing. What are some of the features and differences that you'll find in OpenSnow if you're planning a ski trip or a snowboarding trip versus just checking those regular weather apps?
Yeah. What I would say is I would think about it like a doctor, right? You go to your family physician, they're great. They're awesome. They're hopefully, you know, best that they can be. But when you have an issue with your knee, some specific part of your body, you go to the knee person, right? And so this is the same type of thing for us. From a general weather standpoint, most apps are going to be decent. It depends on the exact feature set and you know what the layout is and how the interface looks, but most are going to be decent. Where we come in is we are focused on a specific niche on snow and really outdoor sport weather. And so when people come to us, they want to be able to compare, say, five snow forecasts or 10 snow forecasts across some of their favorite mountains, whether they're on an Epic Pass or Icon Pass or a different pass. And they might want to see, hey, where should we go this weekend? Whether that's a long chase or a short chase, and rather than tabbing through other weather apps where you have to look around, and also you're not sure when you go to other weather apps, are they giving you a forecast for the town of, you know, of the ski area, or are
Right.
they giving you a forecast 2,000 feet up the mountain where you're actually going to be skiing and riding? So we take care of all of that, and so you know, with us, you're going to get the forecast where you're going to be skiing and riding. You can very quickly, on the favorite screen, just scroll through, you know, a couple seconds and see where it's snowing. And so we specialize in the forecast because that way you can have a heads up. Like right now, I know it won't be published today, but right now it's a Thursday, and I have been looking at our data for a couple of days to try to figure out where my wife and son and I are going to go this weekend and how we're going to do that. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is how much snow has fallen. And so we show you the snow reports from the ski areas. Many ski areas also have snow state cams where they have a camera that literally just on a ruler, and it sounds pretty simple, but that's still about the best way to measure snow. And so we have all of that too. So if you want to dig into the data a little bit more, wake up at 5 in the morning and try to make a last minute decision, we have all of that information as well. You won't find that in most other apps. And then a lot, there are a lot of snow report apps. But they don't focus on the forecast as much. And then, as we said earlier, we have this human side to this. So if you're going to make a big decision and trying to figure out what I'm going to do with the family or your friends this weekend or this week or whatever, often, you know, before you plunk down thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars and a lot of time, you want a little bit more information. And so we provide that too with daily written updates for many areas across the United States and now increasingly in Europe and South America as well. So we're trying to be the one-stop shop instead of 10 years ago. I was opening up 15 tabs in my
Yeah.
browser, trying to, you know, piece this whole thing together. And we're trying to pull it all together so you can do it in 30 seconds versus, you know, 15 minutes or something like that.
So we get this question a lot around what's the best time to plan a ski trip, right? Like it's just a common question in terms of base depth, and answer, of course, means it depends. But based on your historical knowledge and your data and seeing data over the years, are there you feel like there's certain months that typically get a better base, more snow, to plan a ski trip around?
Yeah, there is. Well, I'll give you the glib answer right up front, which is if you're really concerned about snow quality, which is your number one goal, no sooner than about 7 days before you go before the trip. That's just the deal. The ability to forecast, there's forecast skill out to roughly 7 to 10 days.
Got it.
Beyond that, sometimes you can see the pattern coming, but it's oftentimes pretty much a crapshoot beyond about 10 days. So if snow quality is your number one variable or differentiator, the later or the closer to the time, the better. Other ways to think about this, often in the earlier season, so in the northern hemisphere, that's kind of November, early first half of December, there are better deals to be had, and there are also fewer people on the mountain. The flip side to that is that the base and the terrain is not assured.
Yeah.
So that can be a great time early in the season to watch the weather and to see if something's coming in. And if the base, if we show a lot of terrain open, on OpenSnow or the resort website, or you see a lot of storms that have happened, we also on OpenSnow do our best to estimate how much total snow has fallen, and we show the report from the resort, how many trails are open. So if you see that looking good, you can sneak in maybe a lower cost trip in November or the first half of December before things ramp up or prices ramp up for the holidays in late December. So that's a little bit of a trick, but you can't really guarantee that until it happens. So I always look for those opportunities, but I would always caution people if it's July and you're trying to lock something in for late
Totally.
November, Who knows? Once we, from a snow quality perspective, the middle of December through the middle of February is usually can be good if there's enough base because the sun angle is low. And the sun angle is usually a big determinant of the snow quality because if the sun is higher in the sky during the spring and fall and it's sunny, the snow will get a little bit thick and mushy. Now, for spring break or late spring skiing, that's awesome, right? Like throw your t-shirt on or your windbreaker and go out and it's warm and the snow's soft and awesome. But if you're looking kind of for fluffy, powdery snow, often that 2 month window from the middle of December through about the middle of February, again, in kind of the mid latitudes of the northern hemisphere, that's a pretty good time to look out there. And if you book later in the season, that's totally fine, right? Just know that it might be more spring skiing, a little softer, slushier. But hey, skiing with kids, like, I'm skiing with my 6-year-old. Well, he dabbles in powder because, my wife and I are addicted to snow. That's hard for 6-year-old legs, and it's hard to be out in a 10 degree, 25 mile an hour raging snowstorm,
Oh,
right?
totally.
So, skiing with a family often can be good to book a little bit later in the season when there's a somewhat decent chance that it's a little bit warmer. And so those are some tips, but unfortunately, I wish I could tell you in
Oh,
some
those are
way that,
incredible.
yeah, that, February 27th, 2 months from now would be a good powder day. But one, I can't do that. Two, nobody in the world can do that. And three, even if we could do that, I feel like, I mean, at some point, maybe in, the human capacity, we will be able to do that, but probably not in our lifetimes. For an accurate 3 month forecast. But even if we could do that, I feel like it would take a little bit of the magic out of the game,
Totally. It'd be the busiest
right?
weekend ever.
Yeah,
You might get all the powder, but you might not find any space to snow. See.
exactly.
Yeah.
So,
Cool.
and
No, those are really helpful tips. I really appreciate those.
yeah, and what do I do, right? Like as a powder chaser, I do things at the last minute. It drives me crazy. It drives my wife crazy, but that's kind of just the deal. Occasionally, we will lock trips in advance if we need to coordinate babysitting or grandparents or multiple people. And then when that happens, just for me personally, I am worried about it every day between the time that I book the trip and when I go. But also, and this sounds kind of I don't know, generic, but I haven't been on a trip that I didn't learn something from and enjoy, even if the snow quality wasn't so good.
Yeah.
So You know, while I'm nervous about these things, every trip you learn from, you figure it out, you have some laughs, and it informs the next trip. So never a bad idea to, you know, to book it and go, but expectations have to be appropriate.
Yeah, I love that mindset of, accepting what is and taking away what you can learn from it and appreciating what you have. So you live in Boulder, Colorado. What are some of your go-to resorts? Where do you like to go ski? Do you do backcountry? Do you do mostly resorts?
I do it all. And it changes based on the weather patterns. So, well, you know, the closest ski area to Boulder, and this is where I went to grad school, and we really like living in Boulder, is Eldora. It's about 40 minutes away, so we can pop up there. Many major ski areas are about 2 to 3 hours away in Colorado. So we, you know, based on snowfall, we can kind of chase around. We'll chase to Wyoming and Utah, which are drives away. We've flown to Tahoe for last minute storms. I've also skied in Canada and Japan and Europe. I mean, you know, some people really like beer. Some people, you know, really like certain things. I really like chasing snow and exploring snowstorms. I don't get more excited from anything other than when there's large snowflakes falling gently, and we know there's going to be great terrain and good snow. So we try to take my wife and I do it together. We try to take our 6-year-old as much as we can, and you know, we get out there. You know, but some people ask me too, like, well, that's what you do in the winter. What do you do in the summer, right? Do you do
Yeah.
anything in the summer?
Right.
And we do. You know, our team has found that all the people that use open snow in the winter are big outdoor sporting type people, right? We're all hiking
Yeah.
and biking and climbing and running in the summer. So we've developed more and more features for open snow that work in the summer too. So you can get a forecast for your house, you can get a forecast for any point on earth, you can get forecast for trails. We have different kind of lists that you can flip between winter and summer, so you can keep an eye on things. We try to give you an idea of lightning potential, because that's a big deal when we're, you know, hiking in the West especially. So this is a year-round business for us. We don't go dormant for the 6 months in
Thanks
the
for
summer.
covering that. That I had
Yeah.
that as a topic to cover is, what are some of the features you can use for maybe mountain biking or climbing mountains? And do you also have a wind component so you can use it for wind sports?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, we don't specialize in kind of the wind on water aspect and the kite surfing and things like that. That's just not our forte, but we do have wind as a and wind gust as a forecast variable with little alerts within the app via color coding that show you. So, I mean, not just useful in the winter. Like, for instance, an upcoming storm that I'm looking at, there could be a lot of snow, and this is just an example on Sunday. But the wind gusts are going to be in certain places in Utah and Colorado, 40 to 50 miles per hour. So, that will, you know, could impact lift operations. Lifts could be delayed or held, and it can also just impact kind of the happiness when you're out there, because that's pretty windy. And it can also impact snow quality, because when the wind blows all, and this is kind of a fun sciencey fact, when the wind blows the snowflakes around and the wind's pretty strong, the snowflakes will crash into each other, and those kind of beautiful snowflakes that you have in your mind with those six sides, those arms and legs of the snowflake will crash into each other and will break apart. And so when the snow falls to the ground, there's not as much airspace in the snow, because there aren't those kind of arms and legs kind of keeping the snowflakes further away from each other with more air, and the snow packs more tightly together. And so I'm sure, you know, many of us have been out when it's been windy, and the snow, while fun, feels a little thicker consistency and kind of grabby. And that's because the wind kind of crashing those snowflakes together. So we try to take all that into account and have automated products in the app that show you it's going to be windy. We also talk about it like that. So yeah, we try to hit on all of those things.
That's amazing. So if you had to summarize all that, if you're looking at the app, what are some of the things you're looking for? Is snowfall but low wind and sort of, comfortable temperatures?
The first thing I look at is I scan my favorites. Say, where's the snow coming? And so I can quickly see that. Then for areas that I know I could get to for those storms, I then dig in a little bit. How much, you know, so I'll tap that, or you could go to another tab, which is just the snow report, and you can compare how much terrain is open. So once I see that, I can, okay, how much terrain is open across these mountains? Because if there's not much terrain open, it's fun to go because maybe they open more terrain, right? But it's a little bit of a a gamble.
Right.
So I'll do that. So where's it snowing? How much? Is there terrain open? And then I'll start to dig into the particulars. Is it going to be windy? Right? Are temperatures rising or cooling? Right? Like, is it going to be too, so cold and so windy that's kind of a little bit miserable? Is it a one and done storm? Like, is there good, just as an example, is there good powder Friday, but that's it? Or can I get 2 days out of this? Right? Like,
Yeah.
I would go Friday, but then the snow hangs on Friday night. And that's another thing in the app. We differentiate in both the comparison screen and individual mountains between day and night snowfall, because it's very important how much snow falls overnight to kind of reset the fluffiness, if you will, for the next
Yeah.
day. So, is it snowing? How much? Is terrain open? Then the particulars. Can I get multiple days out of this travel, out of this chase? Is it gonna be really windy? Are the temperatures kind of in a zone that feel good? Which often is kind of about a 5 to 15 degrees. In that 5 to 15 degrees on the mountain, that generally means you're gonna have pretty fluffy snow. And while it's chilly, like the snow quality could be pretty good. Colder than that or warmer than that can impact the snow quality and our enjoyment of it. The final factor, as just a tiebreaker, is what you brought up at the start, which is, can I get there? Right?
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
that's
Is it
really
too big of a
important.
storm to even drive to? Yeah.
Yeah, like, can I get there? I mean, there are some places in Utah and other places where, roads close and it's a little bit of a gamble. Is the road going to open? Can I get there beforehand? Am I going to be stuck in the area when the road closes and all that? So, some of that's a little bit of local knowledge. Some of that is reading our forecasters. Some of that is digging in and kind of jumping onto Twitter or X or other places and just trying to get the lay of the land.
CDOT sites. Yeah.
And the final piece is you just have to go. And then you're going to learn stuff. And I learn stuff
Yeah.
every time, even though I've been doing this for a decade. And then you figure it out the next time. And if you made a mistake one time, then you don't do it the next time.
Awesome. I absolutely love your passion for geeking out on all the different factors, and it's just so nice to see the passion that you have for the meteorology and the sport combined. Ask you, I'm sure people ask you this all the time, but what are you seeing in the data for predictions for 2023, 2024 season? What, we hear that we're in an El Nino year. What are you guys seeing on your end? What do you think the year is going to look like?
Well, it's going to snow. That's about as much as I'll tell you a story. When I first got into this 15-ish years ago, people talk about El Nino and La Nina all the time, which is simply El Nino and La Nina technically have nothing to do with snow. It's just water temperatures in the Central Pacific Ocean. But because of where those water temperatures are, or those wa that water is, if the temperatures of that water are higher or colder or warmer than average, it can impact thunderstorm patterns in the tropics, which then impacts storm patterns around the world. So that's knowing El Niño, La Niña gives us some little bit of clue, what can happen with storm patterns around the world. Unfortunately, for most of the areas we ski, the correlation between El Niño or La Niña, and I'm talking southern and northern hemisphere, but especially northern hemisphere, it's just not super strong. You can average a bunch of El Niños or La Niñas over the last 50 years and see where places might have a little better chance for snow, might have a little bit chance, a higher chance for drier weather, but that's just an average over 50 years worth of La Niñas and La Niñas, or El Niños and La Niñas. And any given season can be different. Any given El Nino can be different than the last. So 15 years ago, when I first started this, I thought, oh man, we're going to figure out this correlation. We're going to do this, and occasionally we've been right, and occasionally other people are right. But with the benefit of looking at more predictions for over a decade, what I can say is there is no person or group of people that can consistently predict 1 to 6 months out in terms of weather patterns, where it's going to be snowy or wetter for many regions and be accurate every year. The Farmer's Almanac might get it right for one region 1 year. We might get it right for another region another year. But there's just no defined skill in that. So typically with El Nino, averaged over half a century, the southern part of the United States has a little bit more snow and colder weather. The northern part of the United States and Canada has a little bit less snow, a little bit warmer weather, kind of leaves Tahoe, Utah, and Colorado in between with very little correlation. But again, those are just, even those, what I just brought up, are kind of weak general correlation. So unfortunately, I cannot tell
No,
you
that's
where
good
to
to,
go this year.
it's actually refreshing to hear. And I'm sure you get this every single year. So we'll watch 7 to 10 days out. That's the best we can get, and check the app and go from there. And
That's
there's something to be said for being spontaneous and not hanging on to this idea of like this is going to be the big resort, the big year, because again, setting expectations really helps.
it. I one of my mentors, who's a professor at the University of Utah, Jim Steinberg, has, generally said, and he studies weather as it relates to snow and powder, so kind of my hero. He has said, the secret to great skiing is low expectations. And so, occasionally I will increase mine to medium expectations.
Sure.
But it is absolutely true that if you go into a day thinking that it's going to be the best day of all time, it's hard to surpass that, but very easy to come in under those expectations.
Oh, that's good life advice too.
That's right.
I really enjoyed talking to you, Joel, and learning about Open Snow, and I love what you guys are building and how you help people plan better trips, get out there. Is there anything that I didn't cover about Open Snow that maybe you missed and that you would like to share with our audience?
We covered it. I'll remind people one last time that it's a public investment in science. And hey, I'm not to say that every government uses tax dollars wisely, but a public investment in science is what's gotten our company and all the other weather companies that we kind of take for granted. Here, Apple didn't invent this, Google didn't invent this, the Weather Channel didn't invent this, we didn't invent this. All of this fun, enjoyment, the ability to track lightning, snow, all of this stuff, all is rooted in a public investment in science. And I'm thrilled that most governments make the data available for free or at a reasonable cost, so then companies like ours can come in and try to tweak it for, our own need, and hopefully we get good powder days out of it.
No, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that call out. Yep.
You bet.
Well, I'm super excited to have met you, and hopefully we can catch you on a mountain together someday and ski together. If you come down to Purgatory, that's where we typically snowboard. That's our home mountain. But hopefully we'll see you chasing storms somewhere.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.